Welcome to the Victory of the Lamb podcast. We are a simple, straightforward Bible-teaching church located in Katy, Texas. If you're in the area, we'd love for you to stop by anytime. Otherwise, we hope you use this podcast to grow in your faith and be confident in sharing that faith with many. You can find us online at votl.org. We hope you enjoy this message. God bless your week. As Jesus goes up into heaven, by the time we get to Acts chapter 1, verse 11, now he has handed over the keys to Peter, James, John, and the rest to carry out the mission of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Before he did that, though, Christ emphasized that his work of providing salvation for sinners was finished. Verses 1 through 5 describe it. In my former book, Theophilus, this is Luke writing, by the way, so the former book he's referring to is the book of Luke, the gospel. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Jesus, on day 40 after Easter, repeated and reviewed, "My suffering is finished. Never again will I be flogged. Never again will I be betrayed and on trial. Never again will I be crucified. Never again will I choke to death. Never again will I bleed even one little scratch, because my suffering is finished." Of course, for us, that means never again will Jesus have to do one single thing to pay for any one of your sins, or mine, or anyone's. His suffering is complete. He's risen from the dead. And then for 40 days, he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to several hundred different Christians, several different times. And now, he was about to assume his throne on high. He was about to leave earth. His visible presence would no longer be with his apostles, and yet his abiding truth and presence always would be with them and with us as well. And just before he left, as he was assuring them, "My victory over sin is finished. Your home in heaven is prepared," there's one last thing they had to work through. You see, even though Jesus was trumpeting, "This is the big picture, my victory over sin is finished," the disciples weren't catching on, even then, at this very late hour. Listen to what they asked Jesus. Verse 6, they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" I don't know how Jesus didn't do a facepalm. Maybe he did. You know how basic of a question this is that is wrong? Let me give you a picture of it. It'd be like, and I've had this happen twice, and I have an 18-year-old who will be getting her license this summer, and so this is going to happen at least two more times, where you go through the driver's training, you get the permit, you do the practice, all the classes, all the instruction, and then that time comes when you take a deep breath, here's the keys. And if that were to happen, and the young driver were to ask one question, only one, "Thank you, and could you remind me again which one's the gas and the brake? I just forget that a lot. I get it mixed up." No parent would give the keys, right? It would be death. No parent in their right mind would turn over the keys to that new driver. And yet, that's basically what the disciples were asking. Here, Jesus has trained them for 3 years. He has suffered. He has died. He has risen. He has appeared to many people for 40 days, and now he's about to ascend. He's about to turn over the keys of gospel ministry to them, and they're going to be the leaders teaching others how to preach the gospel and teach it to people. And they ask him, what's the gas in the brake again? Are you going to restore earthly glory to us now? Because that's what we signed up for in the beginning, Jesus, remember? It was all about money, fame, fortune, glory, pleasure for me. And we're one of your 11 best friends, right? And that's why we get earthly glory now? Is now the time we've been waiting for? That big golden trophy? And Jesus repeated patiently again for the who knows how manyth time what the big picture was all about. He said, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Stay in your lane, fellas. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, right here where you're standing, and in all Judea and Samaria, just around the corner, and then to the ends of the earth. What the big picture is all about is not earthly glory, wealth, health, fame, fortune, pleasure, toys. The big picture is all about how can we get as many people to heaven as possible. And here's how that's going to go down. The Holy Spirit will come to you, will keep reinforcing the truth that I have taught you, and will continue to teach you through my word. And you will be my witnesses, not my lawyers. I don't expect you to argue the case to win over the jury, but also not my earthly glory witnesses, because that's never a part of the picture anyways. That would be a false witness. You will be my witnesses. Tell them what you saw. Tell them what you heard. Tell them what I finished. Tell them where you're going one day after your life is over. Heaven. You will be my witnesses first here, then a little further out, and then to the ends of the earth, wherever you can find people who are breathing. That's what it's all about. And I think you can already start to see why it's always going to be true as long as this world is turning. Christ's victory is finished. The payment for sin is done. And yet, his ministry is far from finished. Because if Judgment Day came before worship is over this morning, would everyone go to heaven? Or would there be quite a few people in the world lost in their sin? How about, think about your kingdom versus Christ's kingdom. Do you perfectly trust under all circumstances? Or do sometimes you lean on your own understanding and even get into disciple on Ascension Day mode there and say, it's all about earthly glory, right, Lord? And kingdoms collide. Our Lord takes a risk every time he blesses us in that our personal kingdom will receive the blessing and assume that it's because of me and because of my ingenuity and my hard work and so on. And then we'll forget about the God who gave it to us. And our kingdom will collide with his and we'll win the day more often than not. In our Sunday Bible study this morning, we're starting a new one on the Old Testament prophets. And the one for today is the book of Hosea. You want to know what one of the verses is in there? Hosea lived during a time of prosperity, but tremendous apostasy, unbelief, godlessness. And the Lord, through Hosea, told the people this. He said, I loved you. I cared for you. You were satisfied. But then you became proud. And then you forgot me. The Lord takes a risk every time he blesses us that our kingdom, the selfish person within, is going to rise up against him and push him away because we got this. But then he also takes a risk with the opposite. He takes a risk if he allows trouble to enter our lives and difficulty. Because then the selfish kingdom within wants to shake the fist at God and say, this is all your fault, and you're the biggest problem I've ever met. I'm better off without you, moving forward through the trouble as though God's a non-factor. So either way, the Lord is taking a risk. Thankfully, he is so relentless in bringing his kingdom to our hearts. He uses the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to keep poking into our souls, to assure us that he has not abandoned us and will never abandon us, to remind us that it's all about his kingdom and not ours, to give us the reality check that we are very sinful people who have a kingdom that rivals his, even sees him as our greatest rival. And yet we also have a Savior who won't ever quit, who doesn't leave us to our own devices, who won't say, fine, have it your way, I'll back off, but continues to bring us his word however and wherever he can, so that we trust him and love him and grow in him all the days of our life. That's a personal example I hope you think about when you think about God's kingdom is never finished this side of heaven. We are all works in progress. And his kingdom work and ministry work is never finished also, as he didn't just tell those 11 men to be witnesses and everybody else is whatever. No, that's a command for the whole Christian church, including those of us gathered here today. Jesus commands us, not just a suggestion, but a command, you will be my witnesses. Starting close to home, then a little further out, and then to the ends of the earth, wherever you can find people who are alive and sinful and need grace from Christ. What an exciting opportunity we have when we wake up in the morning and it's Sunday. Who knows who we might meet today? And tomorrow's Monday. Who knows who we might meet then? Each day might be someone to whom God wants you to witness for him. That it's all about his kingdom and not ever yours or anyone else's. I think it's safe to say that as time goes on, it sure seems like fewer and further between there are Christian examples out there in the world for people to notice. And I know that breaks some of your hearts and even causes some disappointment. However, doesn't that also mean that when we are living a peaceful, sturdy Christian life, confident in Christ's kingdom and doing what we can to divorce ourselves from our own personal kingdom, that light shines brightly? People notice the quiet, confident Christian life, and they ask things of themselves and hopefully eventually of you, like, what makes you tick? Why are you so different? How come everybody else is ripping the boss to shreds with salty language and you're not? How come everybody else is scrambling for more toys and it's not that big a deal to you, even though you enjoy some of them that you have? How come everybody else has better things to do on the weekend and you're here in church and Bible study, listening to the Word, talking to other Christians to encourage them? How come everybody else is me first and you are, in a loving, quiet way, others first, God first? What makes you tick? The quiet, peaceful Christian witness has never been more needed and never been more noticed. And I hope that also helps you think about the incredible opportunity we have before us as a congregation and you have before you as an individual. Because each of you has a circle of influence within the people right there in your life, your family, your friends, your neighbors. And you can witness to them more easily than I can. And I can witness more easily to my family, friends, and neighbors than you can. We each have our own mission field. And we also get to work together to do a bigger mission effort like the expansion project. Why do we have walls going up? Why do we have steel defying gravity outside, as Gary has said a couple times? It's so that we can help people have a taste of the quiet, peaceful Christian life that sets their heart on things above instead of on things below. It's so that we can give people the great news that our King Jesus has lived, died, risen, and ascended, and that life is all about his kingdom and not ours. And it's the best possible way to live, even though that sinful rebel inside hates hearing those words. No, it's my kingdom. It truly is the best possible way to live. And when we're thinking straight, we listen to Jesus' word and agree with all we've got. It's quite the important little prayer. Three words we say regularly in the Lord's Prayer: Thy kingdom come. Jesus, bring your kingdom here, would you? Come and rule in my heart. Come and rule in the hearts of others. It's all about your kingdom, not mine. Amen. We know your time is precious. Thank you so much for investing some of your time with us today. If you're enjoying this podcast, would you be so kind as to click to follow our show and give us a 5-star rating? That's a quick and easy way to help us get the message of truth out to more people. Thank you so much. God bless your day in Christ.